Julie Peterson spent years harboring bitterness toward her husband because of the way he treated her while dating. Then she committed adultery. Here's what she says about a marriage that looks hopeless.
There is always hope with God. It might look like it's taking forever, like it's not going to happen. But as you submit yourself to the way God wants you to live, He can give you what you want, what the desire of your heart is.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, November 17th.
All this week, we've been listening to the story of Dean and Julie Peterson. Perhaps each day you've thought, how can this story get any worse? Will it ever get better? Well, let me just say, for many, what we're listening to is so true to life. And I know we have people listening to this story this week who feel that they've made such a mess of their life or their marriage that the situation is truly hopeless. Well, today we're going to see a turn in that story, and we'll hear about the joy that comes from true forgiveness. Yesterday, we saw how genuine forgiveness can work in a messy situation. Dean was challenged to forgive an unfaithful wife just as God had forgiven him. And Julie came to realize that because of the destructive power of bitterness, she was choosing to withhold love from her husband. Now, in a situation like this, is forgiveness really possible? Can a person really be free from bitterness? Let's listen.
It's amazing what God has put in his heart, in Dean's heart. I've got a wonderful man here. But it took me quite a while yet after initially talking to him about how I was really feeling and what I had done again. We just decided that we would probably just live together. We knew divorce was not right, and so now he knew exactly how I felt, and we'll just, you know, stay in this home, and, you know, it'll
look... You still didn't really think it could be any different?
Oh, no. I was totally hopeless that I would ever love this man. I didn't know that the key, or one of the main keys, was to be honest with him about my feelings.
And to deal with the bitterness.
And to deal with it, yes. Yeah. So as the months went on, I started seeing this man in quite a different light, because now the bitterness was gone, the anger was gone, the resentment was gone. I wasn't looking at him through those glasses.
That is such a huge key, what you're describing here.
It is. Because, you know, all those years I'd looked at this man and I didn't like him. I could pick out all the critical stuff, all the bad stuff, because I was seeing him through those glasses that were colored with that garbage that I had in my heart. And when that finally came off, I began to see how wonderful of a gift this man is that God in his providence had given to me 33 years ago, knowing I was going to need a man that had so much forgiveness in his heart to live with me, to provide for me. And I started thinking, and he looks pretty good too. I'd never thought that before. I really hadn't, if you can believe that. But you always hear love is blind. And for me, it was just the opposite. When I finally fell in love with him, I could see his good qualities. I could see him really for who he was, and decided maybe I do love him. Maybe I can love him, and kept pondering that thought in my heart and talking to the Lord about that for quite a few weeks before I was willing to say that to him. I did not want to say it if it wasn't going to really be true. I did not want to give him any hope, false hope. And so I finally decided it could indeed be true, and it was true. God had done an amazing thing in my heart and gave me a love for him. And I had a wonderful time telling him that. We celebrated our first anniversary of actually being in love, December 18th of 2004 is when I finally told him that. And I told him that at that point because God had planned a honeymoon for us. God, in his perfect timing, had laid it on a person's heart to give us a two-week stay at his condominium in Hawaii, just out of the blue. We'd never been there, and he asked us if we would like a trip like that. And Dean wasn't very excited about it because he thought, well, it means I'm going to spend 2 weeks in Hawaii with a woman that doesn't love me. So I thought, he's got to know. I've got to tell him quick. So I planned a special evening and told him that God had really changed my heart and I could see what a great man he was and that if I was a single person and met him and he was courting me, I would want to be his wife. And that was just incredible. I never thought I'd feel that way, that I would want to be his wife. I realized I would choose him. I would choose him. And that's what I'd wanted my whole life, to be able to choose the man that I was in love with. And now God had given me that privilege to say in my heart, I would choose this man.
And you'd never heard those words before.
Never, Nancy, never. And I was just...
Never in truth.
Never in truth. So, you know, God always has something wonderful planned for you, but it's that doing it God's way. And I can't explain how God put it in my heart to be the, you know, to forgive. I couldn't explain how that works. All I know that if you do things God's way instead of your own way, it will work out. And that's why I say that, back to that verse again, you know, that patience and that love and, you know, the understanding. And I didn't blame her. I know that there's a lot of influences out there. And so I was able to have that compassion for her and that love and understanding and realize, you know, when you have somebody that's hurting as much as she is, You don't treat a person bad. You don't treat a sick person bad. When somebody's hurting, you help them. And that's what I wanted to do for Julie, is help her. I could see that she needed help.
But that was all God's grace.
Oh, wasn't it?
God's grace.
Supernatural. I mean, you couldn't have that heart apart from Christ in you.
You couldn't do it. I don't care.
And you couldn't love your husband apart from Christ in you.
I could not. Yes. And God is just... continued to teach me so much over the last year and a half or so. Your wonderful study, Seeking Him, meant so much to my life. It came along at just the right time as I went through that and really got those foundational principles in my life. Honesty, that week on honesty in that study meant so much to me as I realized, yeah, I have to be honest with my husband about the things I'm feeling. I need to have a clear conscience. And each one of those aspects, God was showing me deeper levels in my life where I needed to make that really truth in my heart. You know, I could live looking good on the outside, but if there wasn't truth in the inner parts, like it says in Psalms, that's what God wants, truth in the inner parts. It doesn't matter what it's looking like on the outside. I need to have the truth in my heart and to be honest about what's really going on in here.
Julie, I asked you when I knew you were going to be coming here and we'd have a chance to talk this way, I asked if you could help me by just sending me an email with bullet points of kind of the chronology of your story. And you did that. It sent me a couple pages, and I was really touched by the opening paragraph of your email, and if you don't mind, I'd like to read a part of that. You said, "How I wish I could just press the delete button and have the reality of the life I've lived disappear along with these words. I'm sick inside to know that this is what my life has looked like. But Dean and I don't believe that God has bent over backwards to heal us and our marriage. for us to keep it to ourselves. People need to know there is hope because of Christ for any hopeless situation. And then you quoted Psalm 78, verse 4, "So we will not hide them. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done." And you have done that. The evidence of Christ's grace and His glory and His presence in your lives and in your marriage. And I've been with you now long enough and talked with you both on the phone enough to know that this is a miracle.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's a miracle.
Yes, it's a
miracle. And I believe it's not just a miracle for you, because it's not about you. That's what we started out saying in this recording. It's about the glory of God.
Amen.
And already I know, Julie, that the Lord has used you to, and your story, to minister to some others that you've given us the freedom to share it with. I want to just ask each of you, Julie and then Dean, what would you say to a couple who is, and whichever it's the wife or the husband, being unfaithful or having to forgive, or but there's not love in that marriage, and they don't think there ever could be. And you have a chance right now to say some words of encouragement, hope to them, just out of what you've seen God do in your own lives. What would you say to that husband or wife?
There is always hope with God. It might look like it's taking forever, like it's not going to happen, but as you submit yourself to the way God wants you to live, He can give you what you want, what the desire of your heart is, as you live for Him and be obedient to Him and humble yourself towards your mate. One of the keys for me was being very humble with Dean. He talked about, I was critical in the past, and I didn't like that about myself. And when I would find myself making a critical remark, I would say, "God, I'm sorry. Help me not to be that way anymore." But I wouldn't tell him. I wouldn't say, "Dean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made that remark." But being able to humble myself, as I've learned from listening to Revive Our Hearts. And
by the way,
going
you listen together
books,
to Revive Our Hearts.
We love it.
Every morning.
Part of your morning routine.
Yeah. Our morning time together with Nancy.
Yeah. So now I can tell him, "Honey, I'm sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that," and just keep an attitude of humility.
And Dean?
There's always, in any kind of relationship, when there's always two sides to a story. And I think the Bible tells us the first thing to do is to love. Love one another as He loved us. And that is putting away yourself and putting that other person above you. Because you cannot love unless you give up something from yourself to give to somebody else. And so I'm telling anybody that's trying to love somebody else is you have to give up yourself and concentrate on God's love and what God's telling you how to live your life for that person.
There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 5 talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say, husbands, in the same way, love your wives. And that is what Dean has done. He's given up his life, a life that he could have had a normal life married to somebody else. But he's given that up like Christ gave up his life to make me pure. And like he's saying, give up something, sacrifice.
You have to sacrifice.
He's done that, and it's made a tremendous difference in our marriage.
If I was just to think and focus on myself and what my desires are, it would have never made it. If you want a relationship to work, you have to give up on yourself and work on what that other person needs. What their needs are, I don't know. But I know that by looking at Julie's needs, God has giving up myself to think of her. Mm-hmm. And that, And it comes back more of a gift than you'll ever know. You can't outgive God. When you love somebody in God's way, He gives you back more than you would ever imagine in your mind. I would have never realized that our marriage would have been like this. But Nancy, maybe God planned all this, that it would help just somebody else. Maybe the whole reason why we went through this whole marriage is that there is hope when you do things God's way. And it's not going to be easy. You have to be obedient. You have to give up things. It's not an easy thing to do. Our tendency is always to think of ourselves first. And that's what causes a lot of problems. When we start giving up ourselves and start thinking of that other person, then you're going to really see some changes, because it's going to allow you to grow. When you get yourself out of the picture and put God in there, look out, because that's when it's really going to happen. But you got to get yourself out of the way. Put God in there first, and then it takes off.
And Dean, you had, and something I really respect about you, is that you were willing to let God change you.
Oh, yeah.
And to be a man of humility and brokenness. And I think that's part of what gave you the grace to forgive again and again, was to realize that there were issues in your life that needed to be changed. And so this has been a washing of both of your hearts.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a life that is a lot of embarrassment, a lot of sadness that I have to live with this, the consequences of my decisions and what I've done. And I pray that men don't have to go through what I had to go through to avoid that. But, you know, God is, like you say, he had such grace for us. Mm. And, humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. And that's so true. I mean, He's just an awesome God. And we just love Him dearly, Nancy.
Julie, you sent me an email in the process that said to me, you said I think you wrote it to Sarah, who works here at Revive Our Hearts. You said, "You, Sarah, and my friends and my husband and children have all told me that God will redeem this time and use it one day to help others." And then you said how that you hadn't dared to believe that until that point. And then you said, "I'm finding hope that God will make me an oak of righteousness." It's a phrase that comes from Isaiah 61.
Yes.
"An oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor."
Amen.
I love that verse.
And, you know, it's a process for all of us that we're still in very much. But I really believe you wrote that back in November of 2004 while you were still, it's before you had even told Dean
that
you loved him.
Oh, yes, right before that. I'm sorry.
So you were still very much in the process of dealing with all this.
Yes.
But now as I look back, that's been years, and God has... He's done that.
He has.
He's made you a virtuous woman.
Isn't that awesome?
And when we talked that first time, you didn't think that was possible.
No, I didn't.
And we're seeing here, those of us who are listening to you today, a display of the splendor of God.
Oh, man, it's so beautiful.
And it is an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm. So awesome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to say to each other?
Julie, I love you, honey. And, you know, I thank you for loving me, too. There was times that I wasn't very lovable, but you maybe didn't love me in a way that you wanted to love me, but you were never mean to me, and you were easy to love. And I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for loving the Lord as much as you do, and I know that we give God all the blessings and the grace and the thanks, and He's given us three wonderful children. We are going to have our son being married here in the next couple of days up here in Traverse City, and we have a beautiful little grandson, and God's just blessed us beyond measure. And I just love you, honey. I thank you for loving the Lord as much as you do.
And thank you, Dean, for not giving up on me, for loving me and forgiving me all those times, and for letting God love me through you. You've shown me Christ's love by the way you've loved me, and it's beautiful that He's allowed us to have the life that we have. We don't deserve it, do we?
No.
We do not deserve that. But he has blessed us immensely.
Yes, he has.
And we are very thankful. And thank you for staying with me.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm going to cry. Can I pray for you?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we love you more because we've seen your love. Your love, your supernatural love in this couple. Thank you, Lord, for this miracle of your grace. And thank you for the reminder that there is no hopeless case with you. Thank you that you are a redeeming God who is able to make all things new. Thank you for doing the impossible. And Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around Dean and Julie for however many more days, months, years you may give them, that their marriage would be from you, through you, and to you be the glory forever. And not only would you protect them from temptation, deliver them from the evil one, I pray that all those past patterns and areas of vulnerability, you would just protect them day after day after day by your grace, and that they would receive your grace and walk in humility before you and before each other. And then, Lord, would you continue to use them to be a blessing and an instrument of your love and your grace in other lives who may be thinking their situation is hopeless. So, Lord, make them fruitful beyond anything they've ever dreamed possible. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who restores the years that the locusts have eaten. And thank you for making all things new.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, thank you for those precious friends and partners of this ministry who have prayed, those who prayed for Dean and Julie when they got that letter where that email was quoted. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah on our team who has been in an ongoing email correspondence with Julie through these last couple of years. Thank you, Lord, for those who pray for Revive Our Hearts, for those recordings. Thank you, Lord, for those who have given so that this program could air on that station in California where Julie was exposed to this message. Thank you for those who support this ministry so that all the behind-the-scenes operations can take place. And I pray that you will encourage them to know that their investment is not in vain, and really that only eternity will reveal all the fruit that will come as a result of the investment they have made in your kingdom. So, Lord, we love you. We give you glory and thanks and worship, for you are a great, great redeeming God. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been praying with Dean and Julie Peterson. They're proof that there is hope for any seemingly hopeless marriage. And like Nancy just said, we're able to speak to women like Julie Peterson over the radio thanks to those who give. When you support Revive Our Hearts, you're helping us present the truth to women in desperate situations. Today, when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size, we'll say thanks by sending a helpful pamphlet Nancy wrote called Personal Hedges. It will help you avoid sexual temptation and make wise decisions. We'll also include the book Enticement of the Forbidden by Judy Starr and the study guide that goes with it. These resources will show you how to safeguard your marriage and avoid tempting situations. Ask for Personal Hedges and Enticement of the Forbidden when you call with a gift of any size. Don't delay. We have a limited number of Judy Starr's book. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.